We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
What's up? Happy Wednesday. How's everybody doing? Are you having a good Wednesday? Are you having a great day? A fantastic time? All that good stuff? Well, I hope so. That's what the whole point of this whole show is. This is this sucky broadcast. I am Bradley Laborman. I am your host, and every week I interview somebody who I find fascinating or somebody who's my friend. But I find my friends fascinating, so I feel like it's not just I'm saying it's either somebody who's fascinating or somebody who's my friend. I do find my friends fascinating as well. And one of my friends who's been my friend for a while is Jarrell Pyro Johnson, who is actor, director, all that good stuff. And he is joining me now on the show. Pyro, what's up?
What's up, man? Thanks. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you on the show. Good to have you on the show. So you are in the middle of a project right now. Are you done filming or are you still filming?
I was supposed to be done, but I'm still filming.
Okay. So you're right now working on a film, a short film for YouTube, Dinner with the God of War, correct? That's the title?
Correct.
I'm glad I got that right.
And well, I mean, you got the last part right, but not the first part, but it's okay.
What is it then?
I'm not making it for YouTube, but YouTube happens to have it, I guess. They can have it.
That's where it's going to premiere, right? That's where it's going to be, or what? I thought that was the plan. Did something change since the last time we talked? That's what I guess happened.
Yeah, we're doing festivals first.
And then okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
That's cool. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's the good way to be. So I apologize. Last time I heard you were putting it on YouTube, I didn't know it was going to go to festivals. So see, I'm learning something. That's why I'm having you on as a guest, because I'm learning something new about what's going on with the show. So... tell us about the show. Tell us about the film.
Well, to give you the brief scenario version of it, basically it's a fan film about a video game that came out first in 2005 called God of War. It's literally my iteration of God of War and what I felt like should have been in the game. So I made it my own and made it the way that I feel that it should be. And it's literally about a person that's trying to find redemption for his actions, because his crashed ways, he's made a lot of mistakes because of that. So he's just trying to find a way to redeem himself, basically.
Okay. So it's not Red Dead Redemption.
No, it's like Red Dead Redemption's ugly cousin.
Right. It's a different. You know, it's funny because when I first saw God of War, I thought God of War was like Age of Empires or one of those like Sim City type games where you like have to build an empire or whatever like that. I didn't realize God of War was like a game. So I learned something
interesting.
New. Yeah.
I can see that though. I mean, that would actually be kind of cool if they made that like that. That would be a really cool iteration to combine those two things.
Like a God of War game, but then it's like a game that you have to go along and there's stages and you have bosses, but it's different. It's also civilization. So like you actually have to do World War II, or you have to go through all your wars and everything. That I don't know. I guess it would be interesting. Who are some of the people that are in your cast for this?
Oh my God. It's over 40 people, man. It's
wow.
It's kind of hard to name anyone because I don't want to give people that's not as big as the other people more justice than the other.
No, but you can. It's fine. Go ahead.
But one of my Pico El Santo Severo, he was in My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts. He's been in over, I would say, maybe 50 films. He's been acting forever. Michael Baran is in it. He has a show on Discovery Channel called Bare Hands Baran, where he says he rescues people from the animals, not animals from the people. Okay. If I said that, I'm sorry, but yeah, he's in it. And a few other great people that, I mean, it's a lot of people. I mean, I'm trying to think of who can I name, but they're all about the same level of, Preston Stills in it. He was a former WWE wrestler. I'm excited for him to be in. He's playing my father in this, so that's pretty fun. Yeah, but it's a lot. It's so many people. It's kind of hard to just name everyone.
And are you filming it in, you're in Cleveland, right?
I'm in Columbus, but I mean
Columbus. All right. See, I'm horrible with like the CEO Ohio. I mean, so they go, no, I'm sorry. I'm bad. That's me. I just yelled at somebody the other day because they were telling a story about me, and they're like, Bradley said one time in Idaho, this, and I was like, it was Iowa. And I should, but you know, at least I got the state right. So okay.
At least you got Columbus. The I right, I guess. Iowa something, either it was an Iowa.
Well, or nobody ever gets Iowa right, so I'm okay. Nobody ever gets Iowa right. It's always either Ohio or Idaho. It's one of those two. But you're shooting it in Cleveland. You're in Columbus. Where are you at? Where are you shooting?
Okay,
it at?
So I'm in Columbus, but okay. It started off as shooting in Columbus, but now we're shooting all throughout Ohio. I've literally been to every major city filming this.
Okay, so I wasn't wrong.
Good. No, that's you awesome. Just once again, you were right at the end, but bad at the start. I don't know. Right. You're gonna roll with that.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Because we're friends, didn't do a lot of prep for this show because I just knew we could get on here and we could just shoot the shit and we could be fine. But then I was like, oh, hold on. I always forget random key important things. So, well, it's because you travel a lot like me. You're all over the place a lot like me. So. I get yeah. So it's easy for me to forget where you're at sometimes.
The inspiration for this film did come from DFW, Texas. So I mean,
it did really.
Texas. If I wouldn't have went to Texas, this would have never happened. So therefore, technically, yeah.
So explain to me how that happened. Well, so you went down here, and what happened?
So basically, I was in Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. For anyone that does not know that, I was booked on a press tour to go to DFW, Texas, to go to a few schools. And then I happened to go to one elementary school, and this one kid we were talking about God of War, and he was saying it would be cool if it was a movie about God of War. And I was like, oh, cool. So that sparked my brain to do something that I wanted to do anyway. And then I came back to Ohio and shot it. So if it was for Texas, DFW, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, because somebody actually, Jeremy, who I worked with on the Bradman film, he would ask me how Texas was going. And I'm like, Texas has really like cleared my brain creatively. And yeah, I think it's a very good inspirational place. And they're apparently opening up some studio filming place in Fort Worth that's going to be rival what's going on in Atlanta. So
I've heard that. One of my publicist people, he's not, I don't want to say he's a part of it, but he knows a few people that are a part of bringing filming to DFW, Texas. So yeah, that's awesome.
Right. And I have stuff that I was supposed to mention last week, but I didn't, but we'll mention it later because I want to focus on your film right now. So how long do you think the film's going to run, like time-wise?
Well, the thing is we were looking for 45 minutes. However, based on life, I have to just flow with the universe and whatever the universe gives me. Right now, it's about 39.
Okay. That's not bad.
No, and the thing is, you know, I wanted 45 because I was being selfish and being, you know, into myself, but it was just
Are you looking for a studio to take it and distribute it for you? Is that what your end game would be if that was possible?
Unfortunately, I can't because it's not there's only two characters in this film that I'm not allowed to make a lot off of, but all the other characters I totally can. So I mean, what I want to do is I would love for the studio that owns the IP to be like, oh man, we love what your iteration, and if they say no, then I'll just scratch out the two characters as theirs, make my own brand new characters, and then there we go, we have a whole film.
Okay, that's a way to do it. That's a smart way to do it. So that's genius. I'm just asking because you know I am the president of television and short film for a studio now. So I'm always looking for short films.
Hey, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Also, a good thing about this was this is my first major film. I've done music videos in LA before. This was my major way of actually getting into my first major production hosted by me. So,
because you did YouTube sketches and things like that, right?
Oh gosh,
yeah,
that was a nightmare. But yes,
but you did a bunch of short form content, and you've acted a lot. So, and was this your first time? Are you're directing this?
I wasn't supposed to, but I am.
That's how it happens.
I'm telling you. I didn't want to, but hey, it is what it is. It's life.
Welcome to the film world. Welcome to like being really immersed in it. Because sometimes you're like, sometimes you've got somebody and they're getting ready to shoot a scene, and all of a sudden they say, "I want Kirsten to jump out of the couch," and you're like, "That would be dumb." And then you have to like change the scene around, and you have to take over directing. Anyways, so that's the type of stuff that happened with me back in the day. I remember
some people named Sebastian that end up talking like Sebastian versus just being named Sebastian. It's
amazing. So your name's Sebastian. You have to talk like Sebastian. It's great. Good. It is. There's a lot of good times. There's a lot of good times, but. There was some very interesting stuff. Anyways, so I see you got a whole crew. You got makeup. You've got a pretty decent crew for all of this. I always work with a skeleton crew, so I'm proud of you. So,
thank you. It's about over 60 people. That's including cast and crew. And I mean, they've all literally stepped up to the plate. And the thing is, people say, "Well, you know, what do you look for?" I say, I just hire people that do everything better than I do. As long as you can hire people that do things better than you, you'll have an awesome group of people.
Yeah, that's, you've got to be able to admit that they can be better than you too. I think that's very important, because I think in the early stages it's like, I want to do everything, and then you start to realize, nope, I can have other people write this stuff, and I can oversee it, and I can make somebody else in charge of head writing, and I can still have my input and write underneath them and be ready to get something vetoed if they didn't like what I wrote or something like that. But I think it's important that, cause I like to get in there and direct and act, but lately I've just been like, you know what? I just want to direct. I just want to like shoot some stuff. And if I can find somebody else to direct, that would be great, but you have to be ready to step in if somebody's crazy. So that happens.
Yeah. Right. But no, you're right, though, because trying to do even on this project, being a producer first and an actor second, sometimes it's hard when you're acting and you're in your moment and then your assistant comes and tells you that, hey, the costumes didn't arrive from such and such. So now instead of being in your mode of acting, you're in your producer mode. Like, well, fix it, or oh, like what the
right.
It's a lot. It's
right. It really is. It really is. Yeah. Similar situations where it's like, I'm trying to act in a scene and somebody's like, I'm in the wrong place. Can you send an Uber to come pick me up? And I'm like, something like that. And then you just have to deal with this stuff. And then, I had moments where I've like busted out of character because I've been mad because somebody dropped something and I heard glass break. And you're concerned about safety. You're concerned about everything. And so you just got to be, because you have to be mindful on everything that's going on. But at the same time, you have to be in character.
Yes.
Also, you didn't write this, right? Somebody else wrote it, or you helped write it, or what was the point of that?
It's my story, but I didn't write it. It was written by Nicole Barber is her name. She's an awesome writer. It was just my story. So I literally just said, this is what I want to show. And she literally expanded, some one of those words. Upon what the story was, and we got magic.
That's great.
Because I'm not a writer. The thing is, I know, like I said, I know how to admit when I'm not good at something. I can't write worth a damn, but I have some great ideas, and I have a great story.
Yeah, that's good. As long as you can like put together a treatment or something like that, then if somebody else can write it for you, that's the key too. And again, good for you for being able to admit when you can and can't do something. That's important.
Yeah. No, I suck. That's why I belong here.
What did you say?
I suck. Sucky broadcast. Come on, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I suck. That's why I belong on this podcast. Well, hold on a second. I've got to take a moment, though, and I've got to get organized here because I have to read off. I have a new sponsor for the show.
Nice. Okay.
And I got to find the information. Hold on one sec. Because I wasn't ready for this. You know what? Actually, I'll take a second. Let me take a second to get organized. Okay. Here's the situation. I don't have it written down in front of me, so I have to, I am going to take a second. So let's talk a little bit more, and then we will focus on this first sponsor because I am all over the place on stuff. So I give me a second. God, I'm all over. I'm all right. Anyways, I'll
edit that part out. Violin, man. I could have had the violin playing while you were.
You would just been like do 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 do. Do 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 do. No, I. Well, but here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Do you need any help with anything still? Are you still looking for any sort of funding or anything like that? Is there anything else you have? Make a plea right now. Because somebody's laughing, and that gives me a second to find this piece of paper right here. Go ahead, go.
Well, I definitely, I mean, any funding, I had some last minute issues where I do need funding. So anything given would help. I'm not here begging, so I don't want that to be there, but
yeah, it's okay. It's okay to beg.
Just message me privately because not only that, but I do want to give things for things. I'm not a person that's saying, just give me money and then. You did a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those like, and nothing wrong with the Make-A-Wish kids, but I'm not trying to pull off. I'm not trying to do that. So I don't want to give you a picture of what you've given or anything like that. I want to give you like producer credit or, you know, some props from the thing. I'm not.
Right.
And then one person asked me if I'm going to give him my Blades of Chaos. You're not getting that. I don't care how much money you give me. You're not getting the Blades of Chaos. If you're watching this video, it's just not happening. I don't know why they want that. But yeah, so certain things like that, I'm definitely willing to give, you know, credit and what props or whatever. And I think honestly, we're like only $1,000, which isn't really bad at all. Actually, we're only $1,000 short from the.
Okay.
We had some unexpected issues come up, but that's how filming works, you know.
Okay. Oh yeah, no, I know. Like I'll tell you my story right now. I have Bradman the movie coming out, and. And everybody's like, why don't you change these songs? And I'm like, I can't change these songs. There are three specific songs in the movie that are disco songs that the movie doesn't make any sense without these specific songs. So right, right. So there's these three specific disco songs that have to be in the movie. One, because there's dancing to it, and you can't switch out the song for the dance routine of a different song. But it's this whole idea that in order to put these into a streaming film, you have to pay $500 a piece for them, and you have to pay here's where I'm not going to go crazy. Okay, Pyro, here's where I'm not going to go crazy. I'm using cover versions of the songs. Okay. Like I'm doing Disco Inferno is one of the songs. I'll use that for an example. There was the original Disco Inferno song by the Tramps is awesome. But when you listen to the cover version of it, it doesn't sound right. But there's a cover version of the Tina Turner version of Disco Inferno. Oh. Rest in peace. Tina Turner passed away today. Yes. But there's a Tina Turner version of it that sound. But when you do the cover version of it, it sounds more like the Tramps version of the. Because it's just the way how it starts. The like that in the beginning. So I found a company that does that. You can buy the cover songs. So you can buy the instrumentals. What you do is you give them the money and they give you the instrumentals. They give you the notes. So you can either use their recorded band singing. You can sing it over their cover music, or you can take the sheet music and have your band perform it themselves.
That's cool.
At one point we had six songs in the movie and I was going to do my own rendition of Garth Brooks Standing Outside the Fire. And that was going to be, one of the jokes was I was going to sing Standing Outside the Fire as one of, for this scene. But then I changed my mind and said, nope, we can just put, there's a lot of country music that I have that's free to use that I'm going to use instead. So there's only three songs that I had to put in there. But yeah, but when you have somebody who says, I'll back you on this. And then that person says, you know what? No, I'm not going to back you on this. Then
that's interesting.
When that falls through, you just have to deal. So I'm supposed to have that finalized in the next week and a half. And then it takes 10 days for distribution. So we're looking at, I put June 17th to be on the safe side, but
nice.
There we go. And I use a company that should put it out on, it should end up like on Hulu and Tubi and Amazon and all these other places. So nice. It should be a good time to go. So good distribution.
Definitely. But the cool thing about your film is it's your own IP. So you are definitely getting your own,
I was concerned about a few things because of one of the villains being Disco Inferno, but then we changed the name to Disco Inferno and that kind of like
changes a little bit.
Cheats that out a little bit. But then also just in general, like when we were shooting, we shot a scene with a Bud Light. And now I don't want it either. But we shot a scene with the Bud Light sign up there before all the Dylan stuff happened. We shot it with this Bud Light sign up in there. And so I was on Twitter and I was just like, hey, Bud Light, here's what it looks like. I don't want to digitally take it out. Can I keep it in? And you don't have to get permission. Well, here's a tip of the day for like people who are shooting stuff, because I know when we were shooting Rideshare, there was this concern about using the Tavi sign and stuff like that. As long as you're not taking this Diet Coke bottle, this Diet Coke bottle's in the scene, okay? As long as you're not taking this Diet Coke bottle and ramming it up somebody's butt or doing something that you shouldn't be doing with this Coke bottle, other than like drinking it or using it as a Coke bottle, then the company can't complain, because it would be general idea that yes, that would be there, because it'd be common sense that there'd be Diet Coke on the table at dinner or whatever. Now, what most companies will do would change the names because they want you to be like, no, it's not going to say Diet Coke unless you give us money to say Diet Coke. And that's product placement too. But I mean, it's up to you. Do you want to do product placement? Or do you not want to deal around with it? All we did was like turn around cereal boxes and stuff like that. So I just turned around all the food boxes in my house when we were shooting so that you didn't see any of the labels. Or when you'd open the fridge, it wouldn't be, unless somebody gave us money, then you'd see that label. So,
that's smart. I mean, hey, if it works.
Yeah. There is. So,
you found it?
The Brass Tap is our newest sponsor. Our newest sucky sponsor. Okay, we call them sucky sponsors. The Brass Tap has three locations in Frisco, in Prosper, and in Allen, Texas. Okay, and just so you know, if you want to make the trip down here, I think there's going to be a second film premiere for Bradman the movie. It's going to be in Allen, Texas. I think so, because I think we're going to do the after party at the Brass Tap. I think that's the plan. So I'm just giving you a heads up if you want to come down here.
Yeah, I think I want to come for sure.
Good times will be had by. I'm going to send out the invitation. Be like, if anybody wants to come down to Allen, Texas, come down to Texas, here we go. Because it's only a 12-hour drive if you drive down from Chicago, everybody. So they are the newest sponsor. They have three different locations. And here's the deal. Great place to go to eat, drink, be merry, have a good time. Great locations. Great, just beautiful locations. But here's the deal. If you go in and you mention the podcast, you get a free appetizer.
Really?
You get an appetizer on us. Now, Jason didn't specify what appetizer, so I just want to check. because I'm going through all the information right now, and I'm saying,
I love appetizers, especially food.
Yeah. Oh, I think they're having trivia tonight. They're having trivia tonight. That's what he said. He saw me on Facebook. Okay. So it says if any guest comes to any of the three locations and says they heard the podcast, this sucky podcast, they will get a free appetizer on the house. So he didn't specify what the appetizer was. I mean, it has to be on the menu, of course. But I'm telling you, that's our newest sponsor, the Brass Tap, three locations, Frisco, Prosper, and Allen, Texas. And I am looking at the near future to do a couple episodes from the Brass Tap. I'll be streaming from there. And I know they can handle it because they have great internet, because I've heard radio stations streaming from there. But I am planning on soon doing an episode from one of these locations. So good times will be had by
that'll all. That'll be cool. Like a live show? That'd be cool. A live show.
Yeah, like, well, like this. This is live. I mean, it'll be the same thing. It'll be a live.
Touch you while you talk. Like, you could be talking, and they could put their finger in your mouth.
Yeah, people could put their fingers in my mouth while I'm talking. Is that what you just said? People could put their fingers in my mouth while I'm talking. I could be like, I'm like, and that's our stuff. You know what, though? I should have put my finger in my mouth because I just touched my phone. So, and that's gross. So, yes, please check out the Brass Tap. 3 locations, Frisco, Prosper, and Allen. Or Allen, Frisco, and Prosper, if we say them in alphabetical order. Check them out. Psyche sponsor. Love them to death.
How far is Allen from the DFW airport?
Why are you asking me geographical questions? Hey, Siri, how far is Allen from the DFW airport?
Auto sales. About 13 miles from Dallas Fort.
Oh, that's not bad.
It says Allen Auto Sales, but that's Allen probably.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. No, because I mean, yeah,
I'm about 15-20 miles from DFW. I'm about 30 minutes from Dallas Love. I always like to be by the airports. So
yeah,
I'm in Arlington.
Oh,
which is fancy. Arlington. We have the Cowboy Stadium here. We have the Rangers Field here. We have Globe Life Field here because there's some sort of like big.
But you guys have Elon Musk there too, right? Is he?
He's in Austin, but he's doing his own. I'm not in Allen. I'm in Arlington.
Arlington.
A lot of A places. Almost there was I wish I could remember what it was. I was going to tell you about this. There was a. A ghost town that was for sale. How much do you think this ghost town was for sale for?
Ghost town?
There was a ghost town for sale that you could buy in Texas. $100,000.
Okay.
But that's for the entire city. That's for the entire little town.
Wow.
That's not bad, right? And it was some sort of like escape resort or something like that. But they started it before COVID, and then COVID made them lose business. And they were like, I just want to retire now. And these guys weren't from America. And they're like, we just want to retire. So we'll sell it for $100,000. They said $100,000, or we will negotiate or take best offer depending on your idea.
Wow.
So I thought about this idea where people could have robots that they have sex with. No, I'm just kidding. that's the plot for Westworld. I was saying that was my joke. Sorry, you were looking at me like you didn't know the plot of Westworld. And then I was like, wait, I don't want you to think that's my original idea. So,
everything's recycled in this world. Why not?
I think like a fun like city slickers type curly like ranch type thing would be a fun way to use that. But there was also like the only way you could go down and look at the place during the open house. Was you had to sign a waiver because there's poisonous snakes, scorpions, and some other animal that can kill you. That was down there. So
like as soon as you enter, everyone has to sign a hold harmless. Like.
And they said cell phone was patchy and Wi-Fi was patchy. But I think Wi-Fi you could get fixed up right away. Because have you heard about have we ever had this conversation about fake houses?
Fake homes? Houses? No.
I watched this YouTube video. And it was this girl, and it's the most fascinating thing I ever saw. And ever since then, I've just been obsessed with it. This girl was on YouTube, and she's talking about that she found out about fake homes. And I should know this term because I was a realtor, but I didn't know this term, but I love this term now all the time. Do you know what a NIMBY is?
A NIMBY? No.
A NIMBY is somebody who says, not in my backyard. Like a neighbor, like somebody who lives in a neighborhood who's like, not in my backyard. So, you know, when you drive through a neighborhood and you see like a fenced area and there's transformers in there and it's like a big electrical looking thing or whatever, and it says high voltage and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are some neighborhoods where they've built a house, a fake house over top of it. And everything's enclosed in the house. The house, and what they do is they model the house to look like other houses in the neighborhood so it blends in, but you can tell if you get close enough that it's not a real house. And the neighbors all know it's a fake house, But what's interesting is that when enough people start to move out and move in and all stuff, then somebody who doesn't, who's not been there from the beginning might not know it's a real house, like not realize it's a fake house. Wow. But this is also the case for if you're in New York City, there's sometimes there's a building where an alley should be. There's a building there. And that building, if you fly overhead or you Google map it, you can see it doesn't have a ceiling because it's a subway vent. It wow. looks like a building. It's got like fake windows. The best example is the building that they use for Men in Black. I always thought the Men in Black building was a real building, but I realize now it's a giant subway vent.
Really?
Yes, and I didn't realize that was part of the joke, was that it looked like it was actually a giant fake building, and it was actually housing the Men in Black. And that's so
now
this,
when I go watch that movie, that's all I'm gonna think of now.
Well, and here's the other thing I learned. 90% of church steeples in America are actually cell phone towers. And that's the one that blows me away the most, is that people have what companies have done is and say, hey, we know you want to redo your church steeple. You don't want the bell anymore. You want like speakers in it, and you're going to do like a electronic system. We'll give you the money to do that if we can put a cell phone tower in your steeple.
That is and smart.
Then I'm like, but then these churches go to these to their members and they're like, oh, we want to build a new steeple. Can you give us $10,000 to build a new steeple? And then they raise money, but in reality, they've already got the money from the cell phone company to do it. So they're double dipping in there.
It sounds like a crowdfunding campaign.
Anyways, it is. That's all. It's all crowdfunding. But you want to be an associate producer in my church steeple? It was funny. It was funny because I told you I joined Nevis Studios, and we were having a meeting about this film that we're shooting in Scotland. Which, by the way, hey, get to go to Scotland, right? That's some cool stuff. Because right now the studios are in Scotland, but then he's moving over here, and then we're going to be focused in the Midwest. So we'll be in the Ohio area and all that stuff. So that'll be good for everybody who I know. But we were talking about the Indiegogo campaign because he was setting it up for this thing. And he's like, what can we do for perks? And I'm like, tickets to the premiere.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, tickets for the premiere, VIP tickets for the premiere, associate producer credits, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. T-shirts, signed posters. And I just named them all off. And he's like, how much for this? How much for this? And then I realized Scotland is a lot more expensive than it is here in the U.S. Because he was like, how much do you pay an actor a day? And here, the SAG standard for like indie film, low budget indie film, is like $125 a day.
Right.
Never had anybody complain about that. Never had any complaints about that. And then I said, and my average is, and argue with me if I'm wrong, $125 per day, $84 a background person with one line, like, or one or two lines, and
that's pretty nice.
And usually free food, IMDb for anybody who wants to be an extra who has no lines.
Right.
But if somebody shows up and they're an extra, and then all of a sudden I give them a line, then I renegotiate their contract and I say, well, you're getting $80 for the day because that's what happened. So he's like, anybody who shows up gets $200 minimum.
Wow.
Like background non-speaking in Scotland is like whatever. It's like what it's I don't know if it's 200, but it's more than zero.
More than
so.
I need to go act in some work in Scotland.
Sheesh. Right? Do you want to be?
I'm not even say anything. I'll just stand there. I'll be a friend.
You know what? Let me see if we have an extra role for you in our upcoming production of Dove. That's our next.
Yeah, I'll play a Fern. I'll play Fern.
You play Fern. Anyways, it was just fascinating to me, like the difference or whatever. And I said, make sure to get over here, because then the other thing was like he was like, because the other thing we were talking about was doing the production, and he's like, I want to offer up seats for family members and stuff like that. And I said, well, you only said the theater only had 150 seats. So I said, we're probably going to need to get two theaters. And he said, So when we do the premiere, does that mean we split up the actions between the two theaters? I'm like, no, you specifically say this is the VIP theater, this is the general admission theater, and you have a live, you get up and we do a live speak for like welcome to the show and whatever, and you put a recorded one in front of the other screen.
On the other one.
And, yeah, that's yeah, cool. And then and that's everybody's cool. Everybody has the ability to go to the after party and all that good stuff. That's how I went to
You're giving the whole world all your good ideas, because that's a great idea.
I will give everybody that idea, because the more people you can get for a premiere, the better. But you're gonna find that it's cheaper to rent two small 150 person theaters than to rent one giant 400 person theater. So it's because some weird mathematics or whatever like that. It's cheaper to rent the smaller theaters and split people up, but also you give them more worth on the perks if somebody's like, oh, I can give a $50 donation and get a VIP seat with and sit with the cast and crew, or I can do $25. I still get to go to the premiere, but I can go to, but I'm just in general admission, you know?
Yeah, that's smart.
That's how it was when I went to Sausage Party. When I went to I think Sausage Party was one of the last really big Hollywood premieres I ever went to, and it was just because it was in New York. And that was, you've seen Sausage Party, right? Seth Rogen.
Bagels having
sex and stuff like that. But it was very interesting for me because it was interesting for me because I went into it thinking it was going to be something else, and it was this. And then, but also it was like a premiere. It was like Hollywood, and there was like roped off areas, and Paul Rudd was there, and everybody that was in the movie was there. But it was in New York, so it was very weird because most of the time you think that stuff's always only in LA. But also, mm-hmm. I went to the same thing for a Harry Potter thing. But that was for BAFTA. I went to the final Harry Potter movie, and it wasn't the premiere because that was earlier in the week, but I went to a screening for BAFTA. Somehow my friend was like, I'm a member of BAFTA. Do you want to go with me to this thing? And then we ended up sitting by like Emma and all these people like were in my row, and we sat by him. And it was right after it was then that the guy that was really ugly but then turned really hot that everybody talks about, the guy that played Neville.
Oh yeah, Longbottom.
Yeah. So the only other story I have from that is I'm in Malibu. I had moved to California. I was hanging out with this guy, Jason Horton. We were in Malibu because we had done some sort of Periscope meetup thing in 2015. I call an Uber to go home. I have my little dog with me at the time. And we get an Uber, and it's a convertible. It's like a BMW convertible, which I'm like, oh, this is cool. So then we pick up this girl in a bikini, which I'm like, this is cool. This is some good stuff. And Charlie, and she's still a friend of mine, which is funny because she's still like my friend. We pick up this girl, Charlie. She's from England, and was doing a holiday across the U.S. And she was working for Disney or something like that. And then she got done here. And so we're in this thing. She's playing with my dog and all sorts of stuff. We're having a good time. And right before we get to her location is when she decides to tell us that she used to date the guy that played Neville Longbottom. Wow. And I'm like, that is how you start a conversation with strangers. That's
great how you start a conversation.
Yeah, that's exactly how you start a conversation with it or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, we went out, and then I got bored with him, and then we broke up.
Oh.
Good times.
Great times.
Yeah, good times. Good times. Always, always good times.
Hey, let me ask you this. You've been into, like, how many states have you been in now? Like, I feel like you are literally have like the most international traveler
ever. What's funny is we were talking about Scotland, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I have to get a passport because I've never been out of the country. And so I was like, oh, I have to get a passport.
Once you get a passport, you'll probably be in every country.
I know, right? I think that's what's been keeping me from going everywhere is that I don't have a passport. Because if the moment I have a passport, I'll try to figure out how to like move to another country. Not very many. Iowa. I lived in Iowa for most of my life. New York City. I lived in New York City for about 6 years. Minneapolis. I lived in Minneapolis for half a year. Salt Lake City. I lived in Salt Lake City for like 4 months. Chicago for 3 years. Los Angeles for 6 years. That's really, I mean, my Alabama for like a semester, because I did a semester in Alabama for in Montgomery. But I don't know. Yeah. And then down here in Texas. And somebody said, where are you going to go after Texas? And I go, I'll probably just stay in Texas. I'll probably just, if I decided to move out of Dallas, Fort Worth for some reason, and the only reason right now that would make me move out of this area is it rains all the time.
All the time. Yep.
All the time.
All the time. It's always raining.
That's what I hated about LA. I hate LA because I hate LA in the winter because it rained. I could deal with snow. I like snow. I can deal with snow. I can't deal with rain because you get swamp foot, all this stuff. But out there too, every Thursday,
They also can't drive in the rain out there either.
They can't drive in the rain out here either. So here or there or in LA or anywhere. So, but I can. So I get frustrated because there you go. I just get frustrated with it. But no, I have lived all different places. Now, the tip I'm going to give you, here's the other tip I'm going to give somebody. If you find yourself in a situation where you have to get a passport quickly, you can, because somebody was like, you know what, getting a passport right now is hard because everything's backed up. And I'm like, it's not, because you can reach out to your congressperson and you can say, hey, I've got a job in Scotland on this date and I have to get a passport by this date. Can you help me expedite it? And your congressperson can expedite your passports for you. And wow, I almost did that because I was going to go down to Colombia to get teeth work done. And it was right before I decided to move out of Chicago. And the person from the office, from Chicago's, the senator's office, was like, send us over the thing that says you've got the dentist appointment set up and then we will expedite your passport. So
that's amazing. There you go.
There's the other tip of the day.
Huh.
I'm just here to provide tips and information to what I can. You got, look at these people. These people are like saying, did you know I can do this? Dex was like, what's up? Do you see it? Look at the screen. Do you see what's on the screen right now? See right here?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, see, I didn't. This is something I haven't. Yeah, so.
Laura, there you go. She lives with this.
Tell me, this Irish just said, LMAO, Jarrell trying to give people ideas. I think it's important. I don't know what that was. it was earlier on. But I think, though, what I do want to say about that is, I think that, and that was been me in the past, is like, I've been very quiet about stuff. I've been very much like, I don't want to talk about things because I want to keep it to myself. But now I'm like, no, I want to help other people create content, because the more content we start to create outside of Hollywood, the better chance we have of just killing off Hollywood. It's on the edge. It's on the edge of dying anyways. It really is.
Yeah, it needs to be like what they're doing to MCU, for one. Like, some of this stuff just needs to just go. It's time.
Okay, you know what? I disagree with you. I think MCU is doing great.
Really?
What do you not like about MCU? Let's have a conversation.
Well, you know, I guess it's just getting real corny. As it goes down the list, it's starting to get, because I mean, that whole, you know, and I think my major beef was how they did MODOK and Ant-Man. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the most laziest writing ever.
Okay, here's where I disagree. Because the other version, did you see the Patton Oswalt MODOK series that was on?
I love that. That was okay, hilarious.
And I like that too. But that was quirky and dumb and whatever too. And even MODOK in the Avengers video game was a different take on MODOK too. Different. I don't know if you saw the MODOK, if you played the Avengers video game, whatever. MODOK is a tricky character. I personally liked the way they did MODOK. But the other thing is, I like now, because there's this whole multiverse thing, is they can always be like, oh no, there's another MODOK from another universe.
Now it's just a cop out. Now it's like, oh well, you know, it's a multiverse. So just like
well, they have to.
Yeah.
They have to, when Jonathan Majors is strangling people, they got to be ready to be like, and I think they've already planned on bringing in a different person to be the new Kang.
I saw that.
I saw something when they were talking about that. Or then I also saw something where they said, well, you know, Kang was never supposed to be the big bad for this thing because there was going to be a bigger person. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense because
Kang was pretty big. Yeah.
Because you've got a whole movie called Kang the
Dynasty, right? Yeah.
Kang Dynasty or whatever it is. So I don't know. And you got Secret Wars. I mean, I think it's going to start to get good. I think that implementing, I think they're taking my idea, which is funny because when everybody was like, how do we bring Deadpool into the MCU? I'm like, well, he literally time traveled at the end of Deadpool 2. You can totally have them go after him. And I think that's what they're planning on doing.
It's really funny because
they're planning on doing a version of Deadpool kills the Fox. The Fox MCU.
That's hilarious. And that's funny because I had that comic book and I'm like, it's funny how that was a comic book, but he might be the one that actually saves the MCU instead of kills it.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to kill the Fox universe. So then it's dead and it's gone. It's out of the way. But the other thing I wish they would really lean into and bring in is Gwenpool, because Gwenpool's great. They need to bring in Gwenpool, and they need to bring in AT&T girl who's going to be Squirrel Girl. They need to figure out how to get her back into the mix because she's hot and she needs to be Squirrel Girl.
Just because she's hot, she needs to be a Squirrel Girl. I love it.
She's a really funny comedian. I've done stand up with her. She's great. She's great. And speaking of hot and fresh, I gotta do another ad real quick. Palio's Pizza, their Grapevine location, is a neighborhood Italian restaurant. They offer a variety of authentic Italian dishes, including pizza, calzones, and pasta, as well as sandwiches, salads, and more. All of their food is prepared fresh to order with only the finest ingredients, and they work very hard to give you the very best possible food experience. Palio's is known for fresh ingredients, fresh dough daily, never frozen, and they even offer gluten-free items. And conveniently located in the heart of Grapevine, Texas, near the DFW airport and the Great Wolf Lodge for over 10 years. So come grab a table within their friendly and comfortable dining room. They are kid-friendly and also have a pet-friendly patio with a fire pit. And they are open from Sunday to Thursday, 11 to 9, and Friday and Saturdays, 11 to 10. And did you know Palio's in Grapevine is also BYOB? So you can grab your friends and a bottle of wine and have a nice dinner with no court fees. And for your next office party or special event, remember Palio's Grapevine caters. Or if you want to enjoy Palio's at home, carry out and delivery are also available through Uber Eats and DoorDash. So visit their website and order today, paliosgrapevine.com. That's paliosgrapevine.com. And if you call them to do the order or walk in and use the code SUCKYPIZZA at checkout, you get $5 off your order of $15 or more. And most of the pizza only costs $15. I went in the other day and got a huge pizza with two garlic butters and good stuff. I didn't eat the garlic butter. I literally got this pizza and on the drive home ate it before I even got home. I was like, rah, 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 rah. Because anything that's party cut and thin sliced, I'm going to eat it right away. Got home, put the garlic butter in the fridge, made popcorn the next day, dumped garlic butter all over it.
Maybe I should ask Kratos to come eat some pizza with someone there. Maybe once or twice. That might be fun.
There you go.
You know, then you could actually have dinner with the God of War. You know?
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be a cool little TikTok video type thing.
It would be, actually. I was thinking about doing something like that one day. Yeah. So that'll be cool.
You should just travel around. That's, I did that with Brenda just when I, for VidCon. And you should do that.
Right.
The
only hard thing about my situation is I would have to get my whole makeup team to come with me. And that's a whole 3-hour process in itself just to become Kratos. So,
but it's worth it.
Yes.
I would walk around as me. And after I wasn't popular on Periscope anymore, nobody gave a shit who I was. But I would walk around as Brenda. Nobody knew the Brenda character. And you were there. You've witnessed it. I think you were there a couple times when I walk around VidCon dressed as Brenda. Nobody knew nobody really knew who Brenda was. It was just a character, and it was me promoting this show or whatever. And I literally, people would want to be like, can I take a picture with you? Can I pose with you? and all this other stuff. And there you go.
Yeah, no, it was good. Actually,
Brenda's hot.
And you were her. I mean, you were her where it was even you. Like, if somebody talked to you, it wasn't like you were being Brad. You were totally being Brenda.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because, like, I think we went to a premiere for a film. No, we went to a Rocky Horror Picture showing, and Barry Bostwick was doing his hands in the cement at this place. I think Nikki got us tickets to go to this thing. And when I called in, I said, can I show up dressed as a woman? And they were like, sure, that would be very welcome because this is Rocky Horror Picture Show. So yeah. I went there specifically so Brenda would have Getty images.
You'll be really
But the cool. only thing the only thing is they do say Bradley Laborman on the Getty images, but they're really hot Getty images of Brenda. So
I think it would be cool if Brenda should be like the face of, you know how since Dylan is butt light, Brenda should be like the face of like
I'm going to tell you something. I shaved, believe it or not, I shaved like a week ago. I grew it back already. But I shaved to, I had this whole plan. And I had, I'm just going to share this with you because everybody can hear this. Kristen, who wrote on the show for Zeta, I called her up and I said, I want to do a show where Brenda and Kirsten have moved to Texas because they're trying to turn the state blue. And because they're very, because Brenda and Kirsten were very hardcore liberals in the show. I know you could tell right. by how they were racist, but anyways, but they would, so the idea was that Brenda was this high, was going to be this high end social media influencer. And so she was going to get invited to the White House for National Women's Day because she was the top female influencer. And then what happens is Dylan gets invited. And so Brenda says, this is stupid. A real woman should be representing Women's Day or whatever. And then it just turns it. And but then the joke being that I play Brenda, so I'm not really a real woman, but I play it like over the top, like I am a real woman. And I do it like that. But anyway,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So that was and she didn't like it.
I love Kristen so much. I was she was actually probably close to being in my film as well. So
oh,
I,
really?
I should talk to Kristen too. Yeah, she's awesome. She was actually in a skit that I just put out on Facebook called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And to this day, that's one of the best skits I think I've ever done. And she was absolutely amazing in that. So I love
She's her. Great. That's why I love her. Yeah. She's such I remember when I first put her in the show, I wasn't sure on how I wanted to go with her. And then I went to go see her live stage show. And it was super perverted. And I was like, oh, she's going to be just fine. Why am I concerned about this? I don't know if you saw if you saw this. Let me add this real quick. Let me add a picture to this real quick. And because I do want to talk about this. This is like me announcing this. This isn't set in stone or anything. I got to figure out where the hell I put it. Oh, here's where I put it. Nope, that's not where I put it.
You're like a big kid playing with a new toy.
No, I'm usually good at this. I don't know what my problem is lately on this stuff. Oh, here we go.
What does this button do?
So this is it just takes me a second to remember where I put the video. So I think you saw this on I don't know why it's taking forever to load. It's not that big of a file. Oh, here we go. I think you saw this on on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I am rebooting Chunky Zeta, but I am rebooting it with actual.
I love that.
But I'm rebooting it with Brenda being played by an actual woman instead of me playing Brenda. Oh. I'm rebooting it as a woman playing Brenda, and it's going to be more in the style of like Riverside, or like there was a storyline that was happening in Chunky Zeta that was going to start to get really dark and really like mysterious and stuff like that, and then we got rid of the show. But I want to go back through. I want to recycle some stuff, keep some of the death and all that stuff in there, and make it a little bit darker. And yeah, and I'll probably just step in and play the dean. That's my plan. Or something like that. So,
yeah,
but it's easier for me to direct. But wait, but also
GS was the dean in the last one, right? Was that GS? this.
GS was the dean early on, and then George stepped in, and he was the dean later on in the series because GS did not want to be the dean. GS did not want to be on camera. We put GS on camera, and nobody was like, hey, the dean looks different from season one to season two. Nobody ever said anything, but it was good to go. But I see a lot of the plots staying the same and stuff like that. So, but I was talking to her and I said, I would like you to be the head writer on this. So we're in negotiations for that right now. I think she's going to do it. So there we go.
I love that.
Congrats. I'm putting this, and plus I have to get it approved. Even though I am president of television and short film, I still have to get it approved by the rest of the people on the team. I don't think that's going to be a problem because because everybody was already a fan of the original Zeta series, which helps out tremendously. I was very happy when I went in for this job. I said, he had posted it and I said, I'm very interested in doing this. And he said, I have a president of television. I have a president of short film position. Which one appeals to you more? And I said, why don't you just combine them? Because a lot of the short films will end up in like, they're all going to the same place. I mean, like shooting a short film is about the same as shooting a TV series. Cause I can shoot a TV series in 14 to 20 days. If I do it right, I can shoot a short film in about the same time. It's pretty much the same thing. A short film is just literally a TV series is just a short film. Well, not really. It's a long film, but it's a little bit easier. So I said, want to do both. And then once it gets overwhelming, then we'll put in a vice president for each position. And then we'll do it that way. So here I am.
Superintendent
president. What do you call me superintendent for?
Because you're over both presidents, technically, if you put a vice president over each one.
No, if I'm the president and then you have too many little vice presidents, and then I don't know how it all works. I don't know how it all works. Are you still on the platform? Wait, so let's go back to this. So let's go back and talk about Dinner with the God of War again. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're going to put that into different film festivals. So do you have a projection of when you're going to start doing the festivals?
We should be done with editing and everything by November.
Okay.
So it'll probably be starting for January.
Oh, okay. There's one down here that I can get you into. So.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
And I have a few Texas actors that would love that too.
Okay. So. Are some of your actors in Texas from Texas? That are some of your actors that are in the movie from Texas?
Yep.
Oh.
Texas, Florida, LA, Ohio, of course, Atlanta.
Okay.
St. Louis. Kentucky, yeah. Chicago.
That's awesome. That's great. That's good.
New York.
Okay, yeah. I get it. Quit showing off. Okay. Pyro, geez. I get it. You got a lot of people from a lot of different places. Damn. Man. Okay.
Greece.
Okay. Yeah. I already met your Greece guy. I already met your Grease guy. I was going to send him over a video because somebody sent me a video last night of little people dancing to Grease, dancing to Summer Nights. And I was just like, what is this? Why are these little people dressed like I don't know if they'd be called the T-Birds, the T-Ball Birds, because they're little.
That's funny.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like, so is this like, Grease spot. My favorite thing. I was gonna tell you guys this. My favorite content on the web is whenever like Brad Williams or one of these short people, one of these little people, will do a thing where they'll either have a giant bottle of Fireball and then they'll hand it to the girl and then the girl picks it up and it's one of the shot glasses of Fireball, and he's like, "Here's enough Fireball for us," and then he hands it over to her and the girl picks up. And then from her perspective, it's like one of the little shot glasses of Fireball. Those are funny. And also whenever they do something where it's like, I'm going to jump in the pool. And then they superimpose, instead of the splash, it just goes,
Wow. Hey, who's Thomas Collins? He asked the question. I'm looking on the YouTube.
There's hold a comment on there. I gotta go back. I gotta go back over here. Oh, that's the private chat. Oh well, here. What other projects are you working on, Jarrell? God of War sounds dope. Your guys that you've got in here to do your PR for you are great. So what other things are you doing? I'm just saying, Thomas, that doesn't look like a staged comment at all.
It wasn't me, I promise.
I know it wasn't you. I'm just saying, Thomas, that does not look like a staged comment at all. So really, well, according to Thomas Collins,
Bradman, the movie is coming soon. Yes, I'm excited about that. I'm in that. And I do have another short film with Party Boy Studios and Buckeye Studios called Power Man and Iron Fist. And okay. I'm playing Luke Cage in that. I'm excited about it.
I saw that.
Actually, the trailer for that comes out in 2 weeks. So that's that will cool. be live. You get to see me beat up people.
That's cool. And I think you'd make a really good Luke Cage. So I was very happy to see that, because I did see that there, and hopefully your Iron Fist will be better than everybody now is like, after watching other things, they're like, you know what, Iron Fist wasn't that bad. Maybe we should have been a little bit nicer to Iron Fist. So,
well, after She-Hulk came out, everything isn't that bad.
You know what, I love She-Hulk, and I am you, and be nice, because one of my upcoming guests from She-Hulk is coming on the show. So,
well, in that case, nice. She-Hulk is awesome. Best film, best show ever.
Because Madison with a Y and two N's is supposed to be coming on at some point in the future. And
you have to say her name like that?
No, that's just how I say it. Because I think it's because that's just how people identify her. So,
I mean, don't know if that's like a requirement. Like, you have to say my name with the two Y's.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I got, you know, it's funny, is I got Mark Christopher Lawrence coming on next week for the show. Oh, you know Mark cool. Christopher Lawrence is?
Yeah,
he's done a lot of stuff, but the thing I love him most for was he was the boss on the TV show Chuck.
Yeah, he is funny.
He's great. He's hilarious, and I got some stuff going on. I'm working on a venue to do a comedy show, and I'm hoping that I can get him involved to come in and do that comedy show too. So I'm very excited about that. But he's coming on soon, and I got some other people that I'm just waiting on their schedules for, but luckily for me, Jarrell was available to come in and do the show today, and we just stitched everything together. Wait, hold on, this is gonna be funny. We just stitched everything together like a nice quilt. Speaking of quilts, sponsor, I gotta find my sponsor read right here. Quilting Cat Crafts in the DFW is a DFW based fabric warehouse. An online store specializing in boundless quilting fabric. They carry new 100% cotton fabric, mostly priced at $5 per yard. And let me tell you a story about the owner, Liz. One of the owners, Liz. She suffered from depression and anxiety her entire life. Even with medications and great doctors and therapists, it's still a disease with a stigma that needs to be brought out into the light. 2019, after a series of life events and failing medications, she was stuck in a very low depressed state place. That's when she learned how to sew and quilt to give herself something to focus on instead of the constant negative thoughts that were bombarding her depressed mind. And when you start a new craft, you usually have just enough material to make it to each project. Quilting and sewing are the same. Each time I wanted to make she wanted to make something new or take a class, you have to take a trip to the fabric store and get extra fabric. Where most people who have been quilting for a while have a stash of fabrics, it's harder for those who are just starting out or on a budget. And that's when she discovered Boundless at its low price. It was affordable, and it can help anyone fit in and sew with the big girls without having to run to the store for each blanket that you want to make. And quilting helped keep Liz out of the hospital alive during this time. So Boundless Fabrics was what allowed her to afford to build a usable stash of fabric. So she wanted to make this available and affordable to other people. Call it Quilting Pay It Forward. People have already shared that finding Quilting Cat Crafts online allowed them to build a stash of fabrics they couldn't otherwise afford, and smiles all around. So you can order online at quiltingcat.com, or you can, if you're local to DFW, you can pick up an order to save on shipping, and that's fine too. And they are open one weekend each quarter for an open house sale where the public is welcome to shop on site. If you want to learn more, find Quilting Cat Crafts online. Facebook page, facebook.com/QuiltingCatCrafts. And they also have a Facebook group called Quilting Cat and Catnip, where people show off their projects and ask and answer questions about all things sewing, quilting, and whatever. And what are you waiting for? If you order online today at quiltingcat.com and use the coupon code podcast, you get 10% off your non-sale fabric. That means that it's $450 a yard is what I believe that breaks down to. Quilting? Wow. Yeah, go check it out. Yeah. Go check it out. Come on, guys. Go check out my sponsors. Come on.
Like, you have a lot of like sponsors in DFW already. Like, look at you. You're working.
I'm just charming. Like, what can I say? No, what I decided was, yeah, I'm doing this podcast and it's going out all over the place and all that stuff. But at the same time, I like to like once or twice a month focus on a local celebrity, a local person. But at the same time, I wanted to keep all of the fabric and why are you sending me messages? Oh, that was just you saying okay like an hour ago. It just popped up for some reason. I wanted to keep it local. I wanted to keep it to a situation where I could help out small businesses in the community. I'm not saying that Brass Taft's a small business in the community, but I'm just saying people in the community want to support and want to be a part of it and enjoy the stuff that I'm doing. And that's it. That's Texas, dude. That is Texas in a nutshell. I show up in Texas and all of a sudden I have friends and businesses and people, business owners and people in the community. And it's also because I joined this radio station community and they're fantastic. And I listen to them and there's just a lot of people that listen to this radio station. I met a lot of people when I was Ubering and all that stuff. I've decided not to Uber and Lyft anymore. I've been doing a lot more of because I've been working on my other projects now. But also, I've been doing Shipt on the side because that's easier and more fun to do. Just go around and shop for people. Good time.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's so easy. Just like, I'm going to go into Target and get this stuff, and then I'm going to leave. And you just go up to the front desk and say, hey, here's my app. And they're like, okay, bag it over there. Good stuff.
That's cool. I couldn't do that. I would be so depressed and buying people nice stuff that I can't even buy for myself. I'm like, damn it.
Okay, you think you're depressed, and here's the other thing about it too was I'm just going to tell everybody this because you can have my Shipt coupon code, my Shipt sign up code if you guys want it. I will be honest with you. When I was first doing it, when I was doing Lyft, I was doing like 20, 30 bucks an hour, right? And I'm like, okay. So I would go and I would do Shipt and I would get like 15 bucks an hour. And I'd be like, oh, this sucks. I'm only getting 15 bucks an hour. Then all of a sudden I would realize, no, I'm getting paid for doing the delivery. I haven't gotten tipped yet. Most of the stuff I'm getting is like $300 worth of groceries. So somebody does 10% on $300. That's 30 bucks. Even if they don't do 30 bucks. So all of a sudden I'm like, I did like a $9 thing and I'm like, oh, whatever. And they're like, congratulations, you got a $20 tip on a $9 delivery. Wow. And I'm like, damn, just made 30 bucks. And then I was like, this is what it was like when I lived in LA and I did DoorDash. I did Postmates in LA, and I decided to do it only Beverly Hills,
right?
Because I would always get food from the Beverly Hills restaurant, from the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I would go in and they'd be like, I'd be two salads and be like, okay, that's 150 bucks. And they like swipe, and then you go back and then you drop off the food and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, you went to the wrong garage. That's the service garage. You need to come to the garage that we use. It's the second garage. That garage is just for cars that are visiting us, not for us.
I might have to look into that.
All I'm saying is this is for you, this is for anybody. All I'm saying for you is anybody who says they can't fund a film is crazy, because you can go on, if you can't get the money from donations and from contributions and things like that, then you can go out and you can do Uber and Lyft or anything like that. Don't do Uber and Lyft, because there's this new thing on TikTok where there's this new trend to give everybody one star on when you're driving with them. Yeah, there's this whole thing. And so I was getting these bad reviews on Lyft and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with my car or whatever. I'm like, what's going on? Tell me. And Lyft was like, we can't tell you why you got the bad review because of privacy purposes. And I'm like, then how am I supposed to fix whatever the problem is? So then I just decided to do delivery. And also, yeah, and also selling merchandise. Selling merchandise for the show is another way to do it too. And coming soon is suckymerch.com, which I already set up. I have a
unique though, because I mean, isn't your color the same as T-Mobile's color?
No.
Okay.
No, and if you ever told that to John Ledger, he would get mad at you. Because T-Mobile color. Hold on. Do I have a?
I can't stand John Ledger, and I said it.
I love John Ledger.
Well, I didn't like him when I worked for him, but I like him now.
When you worked for him at T-Mobile, yes. I have a John Ledger story. I got to be careful because the radio guys the other day said I name drop way too much, and I guess I'll be doing that. But anyways, See, Belly Jose just said it's a different type of pink. I know what I'm doing. Oh. I know what I'm doing. Okay. Because T-Mobile's magenta, and he will make sure that you know it's magenta. I have a John Ledger story. When I first started doing Periscope, John Ledger would get onto Periscope when we were beta testing Periscope and it wasn't everybody on there. He would get onto Periscope and he'd be like, you guys, I was doing Verizon. And he'd be like, you need to switch over to T-Mobile. Will you switch over to T-Mobile? And he got one or two people to switch over to T-Mobile. And I'm like, I don't want to switch over to T-Mobile. I like Verizon. Even though it was expensive and I know T-Mobile would have been better. So I was like, I'm not going to do it because I know how many minutes I have. I know all this stuff. I know how much Wi-Fi I have. I don't want to use up my data or anything like that. And I feel like you'll throttle me at T-Mobile if I go over data. And that's hard when you're doing Periscope. And I came to New York City and I was staying in Harlem at a Airbnb when I first got there. When I moved back to New York City the second time for Periscope, because my fans paid for me to move back to New York City. So I moved back to New York City. I'm on Periscope. And I'm bored and I walk across the street and there's a T-Mobile. And this girl, I go in, I'm doing Periscope. I'm going to go in and act like I'm getting a phone, but I'm really not going to get a phone. And then I went in and the girl talked me into getting a phone. And I got done with my new phone. I came out. I looked better. I had a newer iPhone. Video looked better. I got on there and I said, John Ledger, you need, this girl deserves a raise,
yeah,
or at least a handshake, because she was able to sell me a phone when you couldn't sell me a phone. And he was like, okay, let's go over there and I'll shake her hand.
Wow.
And so then we planned that we were going to go meet in Harlem, and he was going to shake this girl's hand and I was going to be there. I was going to stream it or whatever. So the night before I'm doing karaoke from Mulberry Street Bar in New York City. And he goes, he pops into the thing and he says, hey, will you sing me a country song? And I'm like, sure, I'll sing a country song. He goes, I'll give you $1,000 if you sing a country song. And I'm like, whatever. So I sang a country song. And he goes, I'll give you $500 more if you sing another song. So I sang another song. I was singing anyways. I'm doing karaoke. So whatever. Not thinking anything of it. Go to Harlem the next day. He pulls up in a limo, gets out. Well, it's like a car, whatever. Gets out. Goes up, he's like, hey, what's on? What's up? Let's go in, let's talk to her. She goes in, shakes hands with her. The wow. Whole crew is awesome because they're like, this is our boss, this is great, and everybody's having a good time. He's ready to leave. He goes, oh, pulls out an envelope, hands it to me, $1,500 cash.
Wow,
drives off, leaves me alone, standing in the middle of Harlem with $1,500 cash in my pocket. And I'm just like, well, I'm dead. This is the end for me. No, I instantly got a ride, and because somebody on Periscope that I knew was watching me and who lived in New York, she's like, I'll come pick you up. And I'm like, thank you. So she comes
and picks me up,
and then I bought everybody dinner. So it was
good. That's cool that he would even do that though, like shake a lower employee's hand. That's amazing.
Well, that's what I liked about him. And I said, and I think that's what's important. And I was just gonna call him out if he wasn't gonna do it or whatever. Because I didn't think he was really going to do it or whatever, but then he would do it. But I think anytime when I was live streaming, and I think now that I guess all of a sudden I'm back to a little bit more popular on TikTok and stuff like that, or I'm just hopping to it because I'm saying stuff that people hate and I'm making fun of. I'm just saying things that people hate and that other people love it and I'm trending. I get this thing all the time. This is like, I just got this thing on TikTok that said, hey, you've been trending so much that we want to give you you can now do subscribers for TikTok lives. And I'm like, sweet. I'm like, I don't believe in you, TikTok, but if you're going to pay me, I'll stay on here until you get shut down.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I feel. Yeah. I mean, China already has my data. China's had my data for a very, very, very long time.
Back. Yeah. China had my data back from LiveMe. So,
yeah, China. That's what I was going to say too. China, I signed up for LiveMe and they were like, oh, yeah, get on WeChat and give us all your information. I'm like, okay, I will do that because money. And that was it. LiveMe. Yeah, China already like has a clone of me somewhere from because they were like, we need a blood sample and a stool sample from you too. And I'm like, okay, why not? Are you kidding? For $100 a week? Yeah, let's go. Oh, yeah. LiveMe. I mean, LiveMe was great because we got to go to parties and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, that's something. Yeah, I remember we had some fun. We had some good parties we got to go to. So. Somebody was asking me that the other day. They said they were talking about parties because there's this thing and I think it's called Landmark Tower in Dallas. It's this big tower and it used to spin on the top. The rest of it used to spin. Well, they reopened it, but it doesn't spin anymore because there was somebody got their foot caught in it or something like that.
I heard about that. I did hear about that.
They reopened it and they announced it on the radio that they're going to reopen it. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get reservations for it. And so I went to get reservations and it said, you can't get reservations. This was in March. They're like, you can't get reservations until May 23rd. So I go, no, I put in two reservations and said, you can't get reservations till April. No, June. You can't get reservations until June if you do two. And I said, I wonder what happens if I put in four. So I put in four and they said, oh, you can get in March 23rd. I was like, cool. So I put in March 23rd. Then March 23rd rolled around. I don't really have anybody to go yet. And I'm like, oh, man, I wish it was the weekend. And then they sent me a message saying, some spots open up. Do you want to change your reservation to? And so I was like, Friday night, 8 o'clock. And they're like, okay. So I might just drop it down to 2, though. Got a girl that's hanging out with me, and she'll probably go.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Send videos. Send pictures. I'm curious to see what that's probably going to be cool.
Next week when they're a new sucky sponsor, then you'll know that I – did a good job of promoting them.
That would be awesome. Oh, my right? God.
I want to do – I wish it would spin, though, but it's not going to spin. But even then – and even then, I went to the – like, let me – can I read you the menu real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very interested in sharing this with you. Because I invited this girl, and I said, you want to go to this thing? We'll go to this thing together. And she's like, sure, I would love to go. And so then I was like, well, you know what? I invited her, but I looked at the menu. CB hot seafood boil, Maine lobster, jumbo prawns, mussel scallops, Alaskan king crab, seafood, and tomato broth for the table, $155.
Sheesh.
Iced seafood tower, that's Maine lobster, king crab legs, jumbo prawns, salmon ceviche, Eastern Gulf Coast oysters, serves up to 6, would be, well, small would serve up to 3, that'd be $115. Large would be $230. And then, what do you want? A steak? You want fish? What do you want? Tell me what you want. I'll tell you what it's going to cost you.
Oh, man, I'm scared. What's a steak?
What do you want? You want a tomahawk steak?
Oh, my God, I'm scared. Why'd you go to that one? Fine, let's do that one.
48-ounce tomahawk steak, $240.
Golly. I knew
I'm ready. I was like, I told her, I go, your limit's $100. I was joking around. She goes, oh no, I just want to go and have champagne and desserts. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. I'll go to McDonald's beforehand. I'll come over and I'll have, wow, but even
48.
I didn't see to see how much champagne would cost. Cocktail.
You sure menu. Is Gordon Ramsay the chef there or what?
No. It's, but all right, here's some of the dessert menu. Creme brulee donut holes. Available in vanilla cream or cotton candy. Basque-style cheesecake. Strawberry rhubarb. Ooh, that's $15. Key lime pie. Mm-hmm. Sticky fingers bourbon cake. That looks good. Turtle Creek peanut butter bar. This is called the dessert storm, which I believe is, if you order, I'll have a bite. That's what it says. It's Bernays. Caramel corn and pecans, fruity pebble ice cream cones, cake pops, and cotton candy. Oh yeah, here we go. Coffee. What is? I don't see champagne on the menu. Oh, here we do. It's way. Here we are. What? A shot of Don Julio is. No, there's no way it's $23. Come on, Lockwood. That's a.
No.
What? That you just gave me
$23 for?
I'm ready, dude. I've earned this. That's gonna be my argument. I have earned this. No, I don't know. What is a champagne?
That's only like $500 a night, $600 a night easily.
Okay, yeah. Here's like a glass of Pinot Grigio is $14. Glass of rosé is $18. That's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. I wonder if you do sake though.
Oh, I love hot sake.
I love sake too. Sake is a good way to go. Oh, this sake is. Oh no, this sake extra dry is only $40 a bottle. That's not bad. Yeah, okay. I think this is the actual. I can't tell if there's bottles of champagne. Oh, bubbles. Here we go. Dom Perignon Brut Epernay 2013. $90. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all, actually.
I can't tell if this is. Oh, no. This is by the glass.
$90 by the glass?
Well, it is 2013. That was a good year, dude. Yeah, we're good.
2013 was not a good year.
I'm still under budget because if I said 100, if I was playing on $100 a person, that's $100 for drinks and $100 on dessert. We're good. Yeah. I'm ready. I have made reservations for this, and I was a hermit. I don't know if you knew this about me. I think you kind of knew this about me. When I was in Chicago, even though I was out doing stuff, I was still a hermit. I didn't really go out when I had to go out, and I was very much like depressed and a hermit. And now I'm actually out. I am doing stuff, and I love it here. So I love Texas. God bless Texas. Oh, and also I won a contest today. You want to hear about this? Mm-hmm. I was in a singing contest today, and it's been going on for the past 3 weeks. There's one more week of it. And the grand prize is a $10,000 engagement ring. Now, I don't need an engagement ring, but I wanted to give the ring to my mother as for her Mother's Day / not Mother's, like belated Mother's Days, but her birthday and anniversaries coming up in June. So
that's nice.
They had a sing every week. And so I won this week. So I'm in the drawing. So then next week there's one other person, which means I have a 25% chance of winning a $10,000 engagement ring.
That's cool.
But the other prize is, I don't know if there's gonna be another. I think even for entering, you got like a gift certificate for the place or whatever is what they were telling me. So, but I did it twice. And I'm like, wait, do I get two gift certificates? I did it twice. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so, because you did it twice. So I'm like, cool. So, but hopefully there'll be a second place too, like a $2,000 item or whatever.
I mean, you're nicer than me. I would take that ring, pawn it, and get a $5,000 ring and give that to mom.
I'm not gonna do that. I've already decided I'm gonna give my mom. I would already give it to my mother. My mother doesn't watch the podcast, so this is gonna be a surprise for her. Isn't gonna be a surprise for her anyways. It will be a surprise for her, whatever. But I was gonna make the joke is like, oh, I'll get it back in like 20 years anyway. So
no. Oh
no. I've always made jokes with my mother about like, well, you know, if I ever got rich, I'd buy your house because then I would just it'd be easier for me to cycle it that back. Then I wouldn't, you know, because it'd be easier for somebody. And I'm going to tell this for anybody who's got elderly parents, buy their houses because it's just going to turn into a process where you're going to have to sell it and get the money and split it among the kids. And if it's not something that you had to split up among the kids because you own it, then there you go. If you buy it, then you can't be like, oh, we had to split it up between your brothers and sisters and we have to figure this out. Nope. Estate's closed because we already got everything out of there. It's good to go.
That's smart. And it's less stress on your parents too. For them to even figure out who gets it or, you know, hey.
Yeah. My brother and sister-in-law own a farm now in Indiana, and they're doing fine. But I know I'm never going to see them again because they're never going to be able to leave the farm because they got too many animals on the farm. I know this from playing Farming Simulator. I can't leave my farming. Well, I turn off the game and the animals pause or whatever. But Hey, I've gotten really good at beekeeping on Farming Simulator. So I've been getting a lot of honey on there. Good times. Dude, play Farming Simulator. It's great. It's a good game. It's if you want relaxation, play Farming Simulator. It's a good game. That's my advice. This is the stuff you're like, so Pyro. Mm-hmm. We're about to wrap it up anyways. But because we have been every time I go, it's gonna be an hour show, and there has never been an hour episode of this Sucky broadcast yet. It has always been an hour and a half.
Well, I'm sure you'll find someone. I'm sure you'll find someone to be like, you know what? Let's just end this in 30.
I have yet, and I've even said for Mark next week. I said sometimes you go over an hour, and he's like, "That's fine, I'm good." I'm like, because that would be somebody where I thought he'd be like, "Nope, hard out. I got to get out of here at this certain time." So, but I was like, "Good job, that's great." Before we go though, before we exit this sucky broadcast, is there? What do you want to tell people? Where can people find you? Where can people follow you? Where can people contribute to the short film that haven't already? You have the floor.
Yeah, you can just find me at pyro2sick.com. That simple. I used to do the whole Instagram, Facebook, Google, YouTube, all this. pyro2sick.com or JarrellPyroJohnson.com. And
you have pyro2sick.com now?
Yes, I do. Actually, you know how I even came with Pyro2Sick in the first place? I know we have to go, but...
No, you're fine. How'd you do it?
Everyone asked me that question, like, where does Pyro2Sick come from? So I had a PlayStation back in the day, and before, we used to make a username, you used to have a name with all these numbers and letters because it had to be unique. So I didn't want to have it. What if I just make Pyro, put a number, that way it does the numbers, and I'd say, I don't know, it was cool. I don't know, it was dope. And sick was like cool back then. It's not that cool now.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was like, Pyro2Sick. And it's been my PlayStation name from like 2002. And it literally just now has been on everything. It just works for everything. Like everything that you need to add a number to, it's there already.
Yeah. So. No, I there's a lot of like famous TikTokers and YouTubers who had weird ass names.
Yes.
because that's was the name they had when they were in middle school. I get it. Totally. Totally get that. So that is that's great. I'm glad you got Pyro2Sick. Like, can I tell you one other petty thing I did real quick before we go? I did something really petty the other day. So I have Bradman.tv, right? So mm-hmm. There was this kid, and I feel like you can vouch for me on this because we've known each other long enough. There was this kid, and he was talking about He was using transgender stuff to get a bunch of views. He was on there like saying, he's like saying stuff. And so I get on there and he goes, and he keeps muting me because every time I'm trying to talk, he mutes me or whatever. And he goes, you don't know how to do TikTok. You don't know how to do a live show. And I go, excuse me? I know how to do a live show. I've been doing live shows before you were even born, dude. I was like, and I said, I was one of the pioneers of live streaming. Like I was one of the first people that actually was live streaming out there. And he's like, yeah, sure you were. And I go, no, I really was. You should use Google sometimes. So I was like, I know more about you on all of this stuff. So his username, I'll give him a shout out because apparently he's popular or whatever, is Parker Get a Job. That's his name on thing, right? And the guy gets on there and I was telling him about this, my friend of mine, Aria Scarelli, and how she was against because lesbians were getting, I don't want to get into too much political stuff, but lesbians are just getting offended because of like stuff. Anyways, and he goes, you don't know how lesbians think. I know how lesbians think because my sister's a lesbian. That's what he said to me. That's what this dude, this little rotten little kid said to me. Because he's like, yeah, I know how lesbians think because my sister's a lesbian. And I'm like, you little arrogant. And then I got so many followers because I didn't realize how many people hate him, but I got so many followers. So anyways, I go to look for his other social media and he's only popular on TikTok. And I said, what happens when TikTok falls apart? Because I can survive on any platform. That's right. Me. I can survive on any platform. You're on TikTok and then you're putting the TikToks over to YouTube. So first off, I find out he's going to put me on YouTube. So I'm like, cool, put me on YouTube because I'm going to put a copyright strike because I want to get my cut out of that show because I'm on that show. All right, you know, and because I know how the hell this stuff works. This is me being petty. The other thing is, you can now follow me on my new website, ParkerGetAJob.com, which goes to all of my stuff. So he didn't even brand his own URL.
You bought his URL?
I bought his URL because I am a petty old man, and I have no problem with admitting that. Pyro, what is the first thing you do when you start to brand yourself on the internet?
Get a website.
You get your website. You get your domain. Even if you're not going to use it, you park everything that matches your username so that you can utilize it later on.
Yep. That's it.
My website's down right now because I got my credit card's messed up. But anyways, but regardless of the situation, I own ParkerGetAJob.com.
And so
all his little hater fans are coming to be like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, thanks for following me. Thanks for being a fan. Check out all my content at ParkerGetAJob.com.
I love that. Oh, that is the ultimate petty.
I've done that before. I've done that before with other people that were trolling me on TikTok and all that stuff. And I would go to their Twitter handle, and I would they'd have a website in their Twitter handle. And I would click on it, and I realized it was a dead link because they stopped paying for it. And I would buy the domain and then point it over to me. So these guys are trolling me on Twitter. But if you go into their profile and look at the website that they haven't, and I wouldn't tell them, I would just do it. So you click on their website, and it would go to because it was a bunch of people that were trolling Chunky Zeta. So I pointed all of these different people's domains. Wow. Because it's $10 for a year, you know, and then I just get rid of it after the year. I just don't let it renew.
That is genius, though.
That's hilarious. That's how you do it. That's how you handle trolls in those situations. Because 9 times out of 10, trolls are not smart enough to actually brand themselves properly. Or this kid who didn't think I knew what I was doing on social media. I'm sorry, buddy. Let me show you how social media works. Because I've been on it for a very long time. So
I love that. Oh my God, that is the best tip ever today.
Yeah, petty. That's Bradman pettiness 101.
I love
plain
it.
Plain and simple.
You should make a book.
I literally am working on a book right now, and I've decided to split it into categories. So the first thing is going to be from when I started doing my public access show to when I moved to right before I moved to New York City because I was doing I Dump For You. And then the second thing was going to be I Dump For You to when I moved to LA.
LA, yeah.
And then the third one was going to be LA to Chicago. I've got 3 books. So that's what I'm working on. I've been working on it for a while. So I've got it then. But I got to get my children's book out first. That's my number one thing. So,
you know,
I got to get the movie out.
I'm working on a children's book too, so I'm actually 2 pages away from being done.
That's awesome. I just need to get mine illustrated. I'm ready to go. I had an illustrator, and then they said, nope, I don't want to illustrate anymore. And I was like, okay, thanks. I have the whole book done. I've been sending it to people to read it. I go, don't share this because it's got bad illustrations in it that I can't use, but please take a look at it and read it to your kid and tell me if your kid liked it. So I've gotten good reviews. So, all right, now we're done. Now we're officially done. We are ending the show. I've got to do this thing where I play the music for a little bit as I'm exiting the show. Yeah, this thing right here. So I'm gonna say, Pyro, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate you. I always appreciate you when you're on. I feel like you're a really good friend. And we've been through the good times. We've been through the bad times. And rideshare. I mean, are you gonna? You didn't get asked to be in the sequel? I'm just waiting. Listen, Tremaine, if you're watching this, I'm going to tell you this right. Tremaine, if you reach out to me, somebody send this to Tremaine. I give you permission. That if you see Tremaine, if you're watching this, I will be in the sequel for Rideshare. Because I heard there's going to be a Rideshare sequel. I feel like I could do it. I'm ready.
I feel like I could do it.
We can even help you co-produce it at my studio. So that would be good. Because we do a lot of horror stuff over there. I'm being serious. Because every once in a while somebody messages me and goes, I saw you ride shirt. It was really good. And I go, oh, thanks. Good times. All right. We got to go. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jerome Pyro Johnson, for being on my show. Thank you, everybody. If you're listening to this tomorrow, that's a Thursday. Have a good weekend. And remember, you can listen to us live whenever you want by coming in on Wednesdays, 5 o'clock, 8 p.m. Central Time, right
You've
here.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.